This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling. There's no escape. I can't wait. I need a hit. Baby, give me it. You're dangerous. I'm loving it. Do I think I'm done? Losing my head to the ground and run. Do you hear me now? With a taste of your lips, I wanna ride. Your toxic, I'm slipping away. With a taste of a poison paradise.
I'm addicted to you. Did you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic?
It's getting late.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by the impossibly lovely, it's the very, very beautiful, it's Mr. Joe Sutherland. How are you doing, Joe?
Oh, I'm fine, I'm blushing now.
We always start the show with a little bit of flirtation.
Oh God, that's very full on. You've broken down my walls already. I wanted to be sort of steely cool for at least an hour.
Well, we had a little bit of Toxic by Britney Spears there. Mm. And that was in your honour, Joe, because you are about to have your new show at the Edinburgh Fringe, I believe.
Indeed.
And that is called Toxic. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little, it's a comedy show, right?
Mm. Yeah, no, it's just comedy. There's no theatre or politics. Okay. It is called Toxic. It is named after the Britney song and the masculinity.
Yes.
And it's just sort of an hour of, chat about being a boy, I guess, and yeah. How, that's sort of sometimes a bit restrictive and mm-hmm. a bit like... silly and difficult if you don't necessarily match some people's expectations of what that's meant to be, and yeah, things like that.
Absolutely. Or,
very 2018.
Very 2018. Mm. I like that. I was reading that when you were growing up, you were almost a little bit confused about your gender identity, and for some time you thought that you may have been a woman, or you were going to grow up to be a woman.
I mean, I still think there's a beautiful woman inside of everybody. I guess maybe today it would be a little more. Maybe today it would be easier for young people to find a way of expressing that. You know, mm-hmm. that you might sort of think, oh, well, gender is fluid. Gender is a spectrum. And you'd be like allowed to express that in certain liberal corners. Certainly, I don't know how it was for you, but certainly like in the 90s, in the Midlands, in Sky Blue Coventry, it was very much like there are boys, there are girls, there are gays, there are straights. There's nothing in between. Whereas now, you know, thank Christ, in the last sort of decade or so, I think it's become a lot more mainstream to think about the things that exist in the middle.
Yeah.
And so I think that's fun. I think that's exciting. Some people think it's threatening, but those people are stupid.
They are stupid. I also grew up in the Midlands in the 90s, so I
oh my god, where?
Derbyshire.
Posh, yeah. Midlands.
Yeah, sure, let's say that. I feel like I can absolutely relate to what you're saying. It was very much, I mean, even gay and straight then, I think, you know, growing up in the 90s, even then, that was a bit of a push, never mind. And like you say, anything that kind of lives in the middle ground. And I know that even I was a little bit confused about my gender sometimes, because they had sort of these such rigid gender stereotypes that if you didn't conform to those in every single way, shape or form, suddenly it was like, oh, is there something wrong with me? Am I not a boy? Am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? So even small things like I never had an interest in playing football and all the other boys did. And that was immediately, I think, a red flag to everyone around me. Like, what is wrong with this kid? He's supposed to be a boy and he doesn't like football.
I know. It like writes a sentence for you, like very early on, that then defines like the rest of your time in the place that you grew up, I think. I was the same. I did go on the football team because it was just what the other boys did.
Yeah.
But then when it came to picking like the roles, they're not called roles, are they? In the team. It's more of a chorus
your gaze
line.
Leaking out.
But I was given the part of defender. and like our school, we didn't have any money, so we didn't have goalposts. So we would just use like mounds of grass.
Sure.
And you know, and I wanted to learn the game. I sort of thought like, if we're going to do this, then I'll go to training to learn. But all the other boys like knew the rules just
They're born knowing.
Yeah, and if you asked a question, you would get like shouted at by a fully grown man, and that's so scary and intimidating.
It's horrific, yeah.
So in protest, during the interval, I switched parts and I played the role of goalpost.
Ah,
and I just stood at the edge and was like, "Well, we don't have the money, so I'll do it. I'll fill in understudy."
Beautiful, beautiful. I love the theatre-esque language. what did you think about the World Cup?
I thought it was a good laugh. I'm glad that France won because I'm a proper fan of that Mbappe. I think he's dead cool. I never go on holiday,
no.
But I had a holiday recently. Yeah. And I went to France, and so I watched two French matches whilst I was there.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, it was so cool. It was so stereotypically French. It was like outside a brasserie in Paris, and like they put out all these rickety wooden chairs on this like little cobbled street, and they'd strung up a projector like in a tree.
Beautiful.
And there was just every kind of French character was there, like this guy who'd been trekking to like and fishing all day and then turned up like suntanned and muscly, sat next to us with his mum who was just like chain smoking and clearly like a village gossip, and she brought over this like rickety old little man called like Florence or something, and she just kept ordering him little like blonde beers, and he was pissed. He was like 80 years old and falling, like not looking the right direction at the screen, but it was all, and everybody stood up to sing the national anthem.
Beautiful.
I felt like that day I was French.
Have you seen the picture that went viral on social media of the naked guy swinging from the lamppost?
Oh yeah, great.
In French celebration. I feel like he's representing all of France, and round of applause to that man. I actually found it quite the World Cup quite useful for me, mm-hmm. especially with France being in the final, because there's this boy I really really fancy, and he lives in France, and so it was just like any opportunity to kind of bring up conversation, like, oh, how's the football going over there? Or, you know, he'd be posting an Insta story of him watching the game at the final or something. And it was always a way for me to kind of slide into his DMs. So I feel like, you know, I'm appropriating straight culture by making it more relevant for myself.
No, reclaiming. I think, yeah, taking up space.
And how were things kind of when you, because we spoke about when you were younger, kind of growing up in the 90s, but how were things kind of going into your teenage years and things like that? Does that make up a big part of your show?
It's in there a little bit. I think you're, again, I don't know how you maybe felt, but you sort of like, you maybe get a bit of freedom as a kid, certainly if you've got like a sort of a flexible and liberal parent who lets you kind of push the boundaries and experiment a little bit. But then you go into secondary school and it's just, I mean, it's hell. Like, yeah. You know, it's just horrible. And so then suddenly again, it's like, right, I've got to just like pick a, I've got to like make a new costume. You go into like boy drag and so that was like very restrictive. But then I left school at 16 to go and study fashion. and from there it was then like, oh, this is another new chance. And so I grew my hair out to shoulder length. I bleached it blonde. I would work on a Saturday in Greg's, the baker's, and I would save up my money to buy Vivian Westwood on eBay.
Beautiful.
But so it was so brilliantly confusing for the customers at Greg's, because I would have all this blonde hair tucked up inside a hairnet, and they'd come along and be like, "Oh, six sausage rolls, please, love." And I'd go, "Oh yeah, here you go." And they'd go, "Oh no, sorry, I didn't realize." And you know, you would try to like lecture them on the gender performativity sort of complex. And one day, I just had a guy turn around and be like, "Look, love, I don't care what you are. I just asked if the steak bakes were hot." So that was like a beautiful little insight into actually how progressive some of your surroundings can be, like when you don't realize.
Yeah. Did you feel like you kind of? I mean, what age did you come out?
Zero.
You're just always out, always fabulous.
Yeah, I don't think I really had to. I think it was like in my mum's plan. Yeah. It was very much in her blueprint. So it's her fault, if anything.
I feel like I very much went through a stage of when I first came out, which was at the age of 16. I had before, you know, been trying to conform to that. I'm a man. I have to pretend I like football and I have to do all of these masculine things and really, really trying to fit in and trying to fit into the, you know, accepted idea of what a boy should be. And then the second I came out at 16, that was me going down the other end of the spectrum. So I came out, you know, glitter, fabulous, everything, like the gayest person in the world. But again, that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I think I'd been repressing so much of that for so long that when I finally had the opportunity to say, here I am, it was here I am and then some. Yeah, it was quite a lot. Did you have anything like that, but you were always being yourself and rebelling against the norm?
Well, no, not quite, because I hopped around a few different schools. But there was one that I sort of ended up in for like GCSEs, and so there I was a bit more fabulous and free, I suppose, but still very like aggressive. Like I'd learnt to sort of do my fighting with words, so I was a bitch. I was really horrible.
I'm not surprised. I can see that.
I was so rude. I feel like ashamed, even though I am 100% certain I was hilarious.
Yeah.
And so I just remember at, like at prom that like we had a prom. I ended up going to like a middle class school for those 2 years, and so, you know, everybody was dressing up and I turned up like I'd stuck like glitter, yeah, like all around my eyes. I'd scraped back this hair. I had like sort of Gwen Stefani boots up to my knees. And that was that real moment of just like reclaiming. It was like, you know, you've spent 2 years like calling me a faggot, so here's your faggot.
Yeah.
It was very full on, I think.
Did you find power in that at all? Like, almost, not a defense mechanism, but was, did you almost feel like, I've spoken to a lot of drag queens and they always say that the second they put on their high heels or their wig or their dress or whatever, mm-hmm. suddenly they feel really strong and confident, and that person that would usually bully them or shout them down and make them feel really intimidated, suddenly they're not scared by them. Did you feel like you just expressing yourself in the way that you wanted to express? Did you feel that kind of, like you said, you were reclaiming the word faggot and being mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm a faggot, I'm here. Did you feel that you were almost, I don't know what the word is, like stepping up to the plate and saying, try me?
Yeah, I suppose so. Because then it really, it sort of sorts the wheat from the chaff of the bullies.
Yeah.
And so it does mean that people just kind of take a bit of a step back and they're like, oh, well, gross. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, fine. Step back. Give me the space. Although it being prom, there was like sort of bread rolls and butter for people to throw. Luckily, I'm actually a pretty decent catch.
Well, amazing. I really want to get to know you a little bit more, Joe. But before we do that, let's have a little bit of Donna Summer. This is Bad Girls.
Woo!
Girl, talking about the sad girls.
So, Joe, I'm really, really interested in knowing how you got into comedy in the first place. Like, what was it that first threw you into this world?
Well, I'm very lucky. I always loved it. My dad is a big comedy fan. He is from Scotland, so he like sort of grew up knowing about The Fringe and having it kind of on his doorstep. And when he was an English teacher, he would take his students up from the Midlands like on a school trip in the summer, and it was the easiest trip because it was like sixth form kids,
yeah,
and like it was the 90s, you could drink, and so he would basically take them up there on a Monday and be like, right, go, see you on Friday, and then he would just have the week to like go to shows,
yeah,
and he would take me with him because it was like just an easy cheap holiday, and he would sort of, I remember being about like 9 or 10 and like sneaking into late night comedy shows with, you know, people like Dylan Moran and
So inappropriate content for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, definitely. so it was just always a thing that I liked, but I didn't really think about it until I was 24 at the stupidest moment. If anyone out there is 24 and considering starting comedy, no. Like, wait 5 years. Sure. I think you should either do it when you're 18 and you've got nothing to lose, or do it when you're like 30 and you've got a bit of a financial cushion.
Sure.
The worst time to start is in the exact middle of those two things, when you have nothing going for you.
So you just completely threw yourself into it.
Yeah. I was just like, I'd sort of done a few I'd been such an idealistic child of the 90s. I went to art school. I did a fine art degree. So I was qualified for fucking nothing. And then I stepped out of art school and I got a modeling contract.
Okay.
For like a year and a half, but that made me zero money.
Oh, no.
And I just hated it. And so then there are, you know, I was like working in a cinema for like minimum wage, sort of like, oh, God, what did grown up be? How? And it just felt like, you know, I'd tried a lot of things and was, you know, struggling and getting like kicked out of houses and having to like jump between, yeah, house shares. And it was like, well, then what is that one thing then that you've always secretly wanted? And so I just like snuck out the house one night. I didn't tell my housemates that I was going to go and do an open mic in North London on a rainy
And you hadn't performed in front of anyone before. Like, I presume you told like jokes to your mates and stuff, but you hadn't actually done a performance before.
Not of stand up. I'd been on stage as a kid. I'd done, you know, sort of youth theatre in like a semi professional company. Because again, you know, going back to like, you know, you're a kid, people around you are telling you have to like football, but that doesn't work for you. And my parents had sort of noticed that, and so my dad was like, well, let's get him into a theatre company. And so he like took on extra jobs. He would work an evening job to be able to pay for the theatre.
That's amazing.
School, so that I could have somewhere to be. Like,
what a hero.
Me.
What a hero, though. That's amazing.
No, he's a legend. He's the best.
Yeah, that's amazing. Have you seen, I mean, as a fellow LGBT plus comedian, have you seen Hannah Gadsby's show Nanette?
I have indeed.
And I would really want to know your thoughts on that. So for anyone listening who doesn't know about Nanette, it's an amazing show on Netflix right now. I was lucky enough to go and see it live, and it completely blew me away. And in that show, I mean, it's kind of advertised as a comedy, but then she takes it down another route.
Well, I mean, she full on says from the outset that it's like she doesn't want to do comedy anymore.
Yeah.
And so she's using it as a bit of a swan song. And so the show itself makes that transition. It sort of starts out as like, oh, here's me and my comedy persona, but I'm going to sort of unpack why I'm having trouble with this and take it to, you know, a difficult place, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think it's great. You know, it's a really admirable piece of work that manages to articulate a bunch of stuff about the erasure of women and queer women and non-gender conforming people,
yeah,
in a way that's very, I think, accessible. I think it's getting a huge audience, mm, and hopefully it's not only, you know, preaching to the converted. I think it's getting, the whole reason it's done so well as a show and it's toured the world is because she's managed to coin it in a way that, like, the uninitiated can begin to understand a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel like the way where it is on Netflix and everyone's talking about it, but nobody's really kind of getting to the nitty-gritty of what the show is actually about. So people are talking about it like, oh my God, you have to watch this show, but they're being quite vague. And I think that's actually to the show's testament, because it's getting a lot of people, you know, like you say, outside of the kind of preaching to the choir, it's getting all kinds of different people watching. And it is your kind of privileged cis white men, straight men, for instance, that are really, you know, the people who should be watching that kind of thing. But I feel like, I don't know, I was reading like a lot about this on Twitter, and I was seeing like some people like that, you know, your straight white men talking about it and just saying, oh, this, it was terrible, it wasn't even funny. And it's like, you are completely missing the point.
And to her credit, she told you it wouldn't be that funny.
Yeah, she literally told you that. How do you feel about, and I know like Hannah Gadsby's stepping away from comedy now, and that's what she wants to do, but how do you feel about comedians, not necessarily yourself, but just in general, using comedy as a way to almost deal with or handle pain or bad experiences? Or, you know, because I feel like even in Toxic, you're talking about growing up as a boy and just wanting to be yourself, and kind of, so you're using almost, I don't want to say a painful part of your life, but you're using your own emotional experiences to fuel your comedy. And I think that's what, I think that's a wonderful thing.
Well, I guess it's always gonna, for me anyway, it's always a cathartic thing. I just remember seeing comedians, particularly female comedians growing up, like, and you know, when YouTube was brand new and sort of discovering so many American comics who would do real slap in the face stuff about like sexual misconduct, that just felt like, oh, you're saying really inappropriate stuff, but it clearly comes from like a place of like sting and experience, and it, you've really coined it, and Jesus Christ, it's funny. You know, there's something very revelatory and elate, or I'm just making up words now.
Something elatory about
No, I think there's a lot of like potential there, and so it's interesting to see the amount of people trying to like tap that well in so many different ways as well. Some people are just trying to stick to more like old school set up punchline joke approach. Some people are trying to like unpack it and turn it into theatre, you know, like the sort of amazing Richard Gadd, and that's cool. Sorry, in summary, it's cool.
I like that very much, and I really hope I can make it up to see your show. I would love nothing more than to see you do your thing.
Oh, okay. Tickets are £11.
Okay, I've got £11. I've got £11 for you. Well, I want to have some fun with you. So we're going to play a little bit of Two Truths, One Lie in just a moment. And later on in the show, we're going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions. So if you are listening and you want to send in your naughty sex confessions, you can do that anonymously by emailing callum@fubarradio.com and send us your absolute worst, because, you know, we've got a comedian in the studio and I think we can have a little bit of fun with those. So please do send those in. And yeah, let's have a little bit of Carly Rae Jepsen.
Don't need to worry. Don't need to know. I've got your spot.
Joe, are you ready for some two truths, one lie?
Of course. Born ready.
Okay, so for our lovely listeners, Joe has three facts about himself, I believe. But one of them is not a fact. One of them is a big fat fib. And I have to figure out which one of those it is. So, Joe, do you want to give me your first truth or lie?
Okay. I once proposed to Jamie Winston, daughter of Ray Winston, and she laughed in my face.
I have no idea who either of those people are.
What?
Who's Ray Winston?
Ray Winston's like, he's like.
That's not really.
Is that enough?
No, not really.
he's proper famous. He's like an actor.
I know
his
name.
Yeah, he's like a sort of Cockney actor, a predecessor to like Danny Dyer. And no offence, Danny, but like. Yeah,
I was going to say, is he the guy from Only Fools and Horses? Clearly not.
No.
I have no idea who this gentleman is, but he's very famous.
Yes.
And you had sex with his daughter?
No, I proposed to his daughter.
You proposed to his daughter, and she said...
And she laughed in my face.
That's really mean. Why? Okay, but you identify as gay, queer. What? Talk to me about your identity.
Of le je ne sais quoi spectrum. I guess queer, yeah.
Okay, so are you attracted to females? Have you dated women? Sorry, no, these are very personal questions.
Wow, this is not the game I thought it was.
Okay, fine. So, and how long ago was this?
This was maybe 7 years ago.
Okay. I'm just trying to think. So, and if she laughed in your face, I'm guessing that the two of you weren't dating.
Correct, we were not dating.
Right. How old is she?
I don't know, probably like a few years older.
Okay. I feel like there's more to this story that you're like not letting up.
Well, I'm trying to play the game.
Okay, so did you know her in advance?
No.
So you just met her?
Yeah.
And then you went up to her and just proposed to her. But presumably you didn't actually want to marry her. Or you did.
I mean, maybe in the moment. I don't know. It was such a weird night. So I'd met her whilst she walked over to me and a couple of other boys with some like funny, you know, bohemian... older West London lady who was just like pissed and chain smoking was just like, all right, boys, oh, this is great. It's so nice to hang out. And I was just like, this is a laugh. And then they went off on their way. And then I saw them again on a dance floor.
Sure.
And it was later in the night. And Jamie was having so much fun and was just, you know, when somebody is just so in the moment and enjoying the dance that you're like, you're a perfect human being.
Yeah.
So I sort of like was dancing, you know, I wouldn't say with, but adjacent to her.
Sure.
And just in the heat of the moment was like, you're amazing, marry me.
Oh, so you didn't get down on one knee. There was no ring. This was just a marry me. And she laughed in your
face.
And
she just went, swanned off. But it later turned out that pissed older bohemian woman was Jo Wood, Ronnie Wood's ex-wife. Ronnie Wood from the Rolling Stones. Jesus Christ.
No,
you're terrible.
I don't know. I'm not good with celebrities. There was a lot of famous people there, is what you're telling me. Okay.
There was.
I feel like that story. If you've made that story up, I'd like to know what's going on inside your head, because that is a very detailed, bizarre story to make up.
It's just the world I want to live in.
So for now, tentatively, I'm going to say that one is true. But I want to hear your other ones first. So let me hear your next fact.
Okay. I once had a boyfriend who threw a hot water bottle in my face and blamed it on the full moon.
What? Like, is that like lycanthropy? What's the thing where, like...
No, he wasn't a werewolf.
No. Is that what lycanthropy... No, the one where apparently, like, people say that when it's a full moon, it makes them crazy. Yeah. Like, it's a thing.
Bloody liars.
So he threw a hot water bottle at you and then tried to blame it on the fact that it was a full moon.
Yeah.
Right.
It was as simple as that. It was just, like, in the face. I'm like, what... What are you doing? Oh, it's the full moon. I just go a bit mad.
Wow.
Oh, now I've let slip his region of origin. And I just go a bit mad. I do.
And did you stay with him afterwards? Did you?
Stupidly, yeah. Oh, my God. I wish I'd known of... I wish Love Island had existed back then, because I would have learnt that I was being gaslit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and gaslighting is a whole other conversation. That's a complicated little...
Which, I mean, I've only just become privy to, so I'm in no way an expert. I just sort of, like, recognize. I just literally saw what bloody Tawley did to poor Kendall.
I'm not watching Love Island.
Oh, okay. Moving on.
I know, all the references. I'm out of it.
Friendship over.
Sorry. Okay, so, like, again, this is a really weird thing to make up. So... you might be like one of the clever guests we have, though, who tells me three things that are true and just changes the details in one to...
Oh, that would have been, like, clever, actually.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's not a hot water bottle he threw at you. Maybe it was, like, I don't know, a teapot. Or...
Who plays it like that? That's so boring. To be like, oh, my God, I once went on a roller coaster with Jerry Halliwell and I was wearing a red top when actually I was wearing green. That's so lame.
Okay, let's have your third fact.
Okay, I once played Spin the Bottle with Keisha from the Sugar Babes.
Oh, Keisha specifically. Which version of Spin the Bottle? Because there's a few. There's the one where you, like, have to kiss or have sex.
Like the very sort of innocent teenage version.
So is that like you do a truth or dare if the bottle lands on you?
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, like when it's like really, and it's just like, just kiss. Like nobody really asks for anything. It's just like, it's just, oh my God, kissing. You have to kiss them.
I've used Spin the Bottle so many times to try and kiss boys that I like.
Have you ever done it one-on-one? Like, that's a desperate attempt, isn't it? I've done that before.
You
not with Keisha.
A one-on-one game of Spin the Bottle.
Yeah,
I feel like that's quite transparent of your intentions there.
Well, it worked.
It worked. Which one is Keisha?
She's not mature or Siobhan.
No, but I mean, there's been so many renditions.
Okay, no, she's one of the original three.
Oh, one of the original ones.
Yeah. So Siobhan was the white girl with red hair.
Yeah.
Mucha had the facial piercing.
Right, I know who Keisha is.
The longest reigning member.
Is she still in?
No.
But they still exist?
They three are still alive, yes.
She was always my favourite, actually. I always liked her.
I think she was the brains of the operation.
Yeah. I feel like this is probably also true. So you've really, really thrown me off. I've just got a picture of the lovely Keisha on my screen, and she is a stunning.
She's so gorgeous.
Did you get to kiss her?
No.
Oh, good.
I was like sat next to her. And you know, it never comes to the person that's like next to you. Just by
does.
The logic of, I don't know, maths. Is that pi?
That's Pythagoras, okay. Yeah. I honestly, you've completely stumped me. I have no idea which one of these is the lie. So I'm just going to... What was the second one again?
The second one was the boyfriend throwing the hot water bottle and blaming it on the full moon.
I think that one is the lie. Because I just feel like you've named very specific celebrities in your other ones. Mm-hmm. So, and I feel like, you know, it'd be really weird to pick those two random celebrities for these two little anecdotes. So I'm going to say that those two are the true things. And I think the boyfriend throwing a hot water bottle at you is the lie. Final answer. No! Wait, I have that sound.
Ah!
Which one was the lie?
Keisha.
Oh.
So I love that you said it's so weird to pick those two specific celebrities. It's like, have you met me? Like, my, all of my references are 10 years old. I have not progressed since 21.
And that's completely made up. There was no... There was right.
I had about half an hour to get it ready. No, like, so that's what just clearly just residually in my brain was like, Sugar Babes and Spin the Bottle. Those are the two things I'm normally thinking about.
I mean, honestly, I'm impressed. You pulled the wool fully over my eyes. So well done to you. I have a lovely little interview coming up now. So this was with the amazing Big Boy at Lovebox last weekend. So, yeah, here's a little interview. And then after that, we have some music.
You are listening to FUBAR Radio. My name is Callum McSwiggan, and I'm here at Lovebox with the amazing Big Boy. So, yeah. How are you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm super fantastic, phenomenally well, perfectly whole and complete.
Beautiful. Well, you've just come off stage, and it is boiling hot right now.
It's hot as a sun, bitch.
How are you doing? I mean, your get-up, you must be absolutely...
I'm cooler than the polar bear's toenails, but I'm hot. I'm hot right now.
That is a good answer.
I'm hotter than dragon pussy right now.
I like that. That's hot. Well, you are from Atlanta yourself.
You see ATL. You see.
Oh, represent.
Yeah.
And Childish Gambino, who's headlining this evening, has a show called Atlanta.
Yeah.
So can we maybe be expecting a little bit of a collaboration or something in the future?
Maybe. Hopefully. You speak it into existence. Yeah. That's the homie, man. He recorded a couple of his mixtapes at my studio, Stankonia.
Amazing.
So it's definitely kinfolk from Atlanta. Yeah, definitely, man.
That's love incredible. That guy. And who would be your dream collaboration?
Kate Bush. Yes.
Kate Bush.
Yeah. That's my favorite artist of all time. Yeah, man.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, that's Kate Bush. That's
good choice.
I meant to call her when I got out here. I forgot. Yeah, man. I got to text her and let her know I'm here. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, speaking of Atlanta, do you know who the Fab Five are?
The Fab Five.
The Fab Five. Everyone's talking about them right now.
What is that?
You don't know who they are?
I heard it. Oh, what is it? Is it?
Big Boy, you're letting me down.
No, the Fab Five, what is that?
Fab Five is Queer Eye, so it's this Netflix show where five queer guys give makeovers to straight men.
I heard of it before.
Yeah, like it's massive on social media right now.
Okay.
Everyone's getting involved. Everyone loves it.
Do your thing, folks. Yeah.
My question for you is, would you let the Fab Five give you a makeover? I mean, you have such incredible style.
It depends on where they're getting the clothes from. Shit. Depends on where they get the clothes from. I style myself. So we might be able to collab on something. I mean, if we're fresh enough.
Yeah.
You know, all this is like custom pieces I put together. You feel me?
I mean,
so it got to be flavor.
I mean, I love your look.
Thank you, man. It's got to be flavor. Yeah.
Okay, I've got a couple last questions for
you,
and they're all about festivals. So
gotcha.
If you were going to a music festival, would you rather go see the headline act or a secret set?
I've done both. I like the pop-up shows, you know what I mean, where you don't know somebody's coming and just pop up and play it and people just rush the stage. Yeah, I like that.
Amazing.
It's more intimate too.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And if you could have 20 shots of tequila or 20 shots of Hennessy, which are you choosing?
I used to do 20 shots of tequila.
Yeah.
And I had two babies after that.
Yeah, I heard this story. You had a wild night after 20 shots of tequila.
I had a wild couple of years off tequila. So then I had to switch to the Hennessy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that brown bring you down, but that tequila, knocking somebody up, yeah.
So no more tequila for you?
Not right now, no.
Completely out?
No.
Amazing. Well, you've been absolutely amazing. Thank
appreciate
you so
it,
much for speaking
thank
to me.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate
and
it.
And enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, boy, one time. FUBAR! FUBAR!
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
then what makes up and what must go?
Love the exception.
So why yo, are we so in denial when we're not happy here?
Y'all don't wanna hear me, you just wanna dance.
Was the fabulous Big Boy from Outkast there. It was such a treat to interview him. If you want to catch the full interview, you can see that over on YouTube. Joe, how do you feel about dating apps?
Give or take. I don't know. That's my profile name.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they've sort of opened up a lot of everything's an innuendo.
Everything is an innuendo.
I think some people have managed to find deep and meaningful connections. Others have found very fun, frisky sex that they have wanted, and others have been disappointed.
I think I'm in the others category there, for sure. Well, I have a little game for you. In this game, I've got a couple of different scenarios. So these could be if you're dating somebody, and you're going to have one fact about the person you're dating, and you have to decide whether you're going to swipe left or right on this person based on this fact alone. So we're kind of flipping dating apps on the head a bit, because they tend to all be about kind of physical appearance, mm-hmm. where this is about just one singular detail about them. So, your first question. You're on a first date and your date proceeds to show you how they can burp their ABCs. Do you swipe left or do you swipe right? Do you remember which is which?
No.
Left is no, right is yes. You can just say yes or no.
Okay. Oh, that's a weird one, because I want to say like yes, because I think that's fucking cool, but I also sort of think, but that's the kind of thing my dad and I used to do.
So yeah. Wait, does that mean you can do it? You can burp the ABC. I'm not going to make you do it.
No, I can
do
like
worry.
Three. But it was always a race to see who could get further. Or I used to get my dad to say this sentence. Maureen is a dinner lady. But...
Maureen. Oh, my God. I thought you were literally going to dive in and do the whole thing there. I would have been very impressed.
It's really hard.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I feel like... That it's not usually the kind of guy I would get on with, but if I was having a nice date otherwise and they were like, I can burp the ABCs, I'm going to do it, I think.
I mean, I'm instantly intrigued. If someone's leading with that fact, I'm like, continue.
So are we saying yes to this person?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say yes as well. I think so too. All right, your date is vegan and you are not. Are you vegan?
Yes.
You are?
Well, I'm one of these wanky millennial, like, I try.
Well, no, good effort. I'm just saying, you know, you're doing more than I am. So
yeah, I'm really good
for
you.
Well, for the purposes of this, you have to pretend that you're not vegan.
Okay.
So your date is a vegan and you are not, and they death stare you when a steak is delivered in front of you and drop constant hints you should be vegan as well.
No judgment. I mean, if I'd ordered like a plate of racism, then that's a different, sure. But if you know, if that's the choice I've made, let me live that. Just get to the end of the day and be like, sorry, I'm busy forever.
Yeah,
you know, like leave it till then. So, don't do it during.
How would you feel about it as a vegan yourself? How would you feel about dating somebody that wasn't vegan? Would you care? Would you want them to be vegan? Or vegetarian?
Yeah, I guess it would probably be a bit strange, but yeah. I wouldn't.
It wouldn't be a deal breaker.
No, I suppose not. I just had to quickly scan through my own past and be like, if I say yes now, I'm a hypocrite.
fair.
So, okay. Yeah, no, I've definitely dated a few and I just sort of like shrugged it off because of loneliness.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Okay, your date turns up on a bike wearing an Uber Eats / Deliveroo backpack.
Oh.
So, like, are they working for... Yeah, I guess they're working for Uber Eats. Yeah. Deliveroo, and they've just come from work?
Or they're just doing it as some, like, extreme statement.
Fashion statement.
Yeah.
No, let's say they work there, and that's what they turn up. I guess they've come straight from work, and they've still got the big backpack, freezer pack on their back.
Okay, well, then, yes. Like, that would break my... I would be like, don't you worry. Put your feet up. I'll pay. I know times are tough.
Aww.
Yeah. That's a precarious working position, man. I would, like, try and, like, lecture them on some sort of Marxist theories and get them to unionize.
No, I completely agree with you. I think, you know, some people work hard, and it doesn't matter what somebody's job is. I literally don't care if you... working in a bar or working as a bin man or whatever, you know, if you're a good person with a good heart and I was going to say a good dick. Jesus, I'm such a slut.
I don't care if you're an oil baron or if you sell medication for 10 times the price, so long as your dick is big.
I'm on board. Yeah, you know, like people have got to earn a living. So, you know, if you've come straight from work, good for you. Good for you for working hard.
Yeah.
Okay, your next one is your date shows up and doesn't have eyebrows.
They're a drag queen.
Well, that was instantly what I was thinking as well.
Yeah.
So, and how does it work? Like, because I get really confused with this. I know nothing about makeup. Do like a lot of women like shave off their eyebrows so they can draw them on?
No.
I know I sound like an idiot, but like I don't understand how it works.
A lot of drag performers will do it because you need to paint to create the illusion of like a face that will read well on stage.
Yes.
And particularly if you are a sort of male-bodied person with a very sort of typically masculine facial structure,
yes,
and you want to feminize that, it can make sense to paint the brows higher than your natural brow. So what makes that easier is if there's no hair that you need to glue down.
Well, that's
why you see them gluing it down.
Well, that's
to make
what I was
going to
say.
Flat. But that's an extra 15 minutes in your daily routine if you're a professional. So if they come totally shaved, you know...
They make money.
Like they're performing every day.
One of my best friends used to be a drag queen, and I used to sit with her while she was getting ready, and she literally spent forever like just glue it with a Pritt stick, just like glue, and then painting over the top, and it just seemed like so much effort and work. So, but women, so like you know when women have their eyebrows drawn on, what's happening there? I don't understand.
What do you mean? What's happening?
I don't like. Have they?
You just
do they
get,
have,
go for a fuller look. You're just filling it because, like, you
oh,
know,
so
they can
they're
be
not
patchy.
Like,
I do it.
No, I thought they were like completely drawn on. I didn't realize they were just like filling.
Some
them
people
out.
Do that as well.
Ah, okay. I'm learning. I don't know. I'm a bad gay. I don't know anything about makeup.
Oh, but come on. If you've grown up in the Midlands, you've known like an Auntie Sue who's plucked them to within an inch of their life. And so they've just got a single line.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like Edie Piaf.
Yeah, and then they need a little bit of a filling out.
Yeah, like each to their own. It's your face.
Okay, so, right. Going back to the question. We're on a date and in walks a lovely, charming boy and they have no eyebrows.
I'd be like, yeah, I want to find out, like, what's your career?
yeah.
Yeah, I'd want to find out, like, who's your character? What's your vibe? And take me to your wardrobe.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think it would make. I think it means they're probably more likely to be interesting, and they've definitely got a story, and that would intrigue me. Though I do find when sometimes I see people with no eyebrows, and it can be quite shocking. It almost takes me aback sometimes to see somebody without eyebrows because we're so used to seeing it.
But then there are some people who you don't even realize that they don't until someone makes you aware. Like, you know, Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg has no eyebrows.
What?
She does not have eyebrows. But she's got like a warm, expressive face, so you don't realize.
That can't be true. I don't believe you.
It is so true.
You're lying to me. Lovely producers, can we please get a picture of Whoopi Goldberg up? Because I don't believe a word that you're saying right now. Okay, here she... Oh, my God, she has no eyebrows!
No eyebrows.
Has she
no
never had eyebrows?
I don't know.
Whoopi, she looks... Oh, my God, this is blowing my mind.
I don't know if it's just that she has very, like, thin, downy hair there.
Maybe. But yeah. It's a look. She's serving a look. I'm getting so many pictures of Whoopi Goldberg, and she looks absolutely fantastic without eyebrows in all of them.
She owns it.
Good for you, Whoopi. Good for you. Speaking of drag, you've supported some drag queens, I believe, on their UK tours.
I have indeed. Some American drag queens from a certain American TV show. Yes, I have.
You can name the show.
I know, I just wanted to like segue into that.
Sure.
Anyway. From RuPaul's Drag Race, I've done some shows with Sasha Velour, the winner of last year's one. Also, a bare-faced mother hen.
Amazing.
And Alyssa Edwards and Trixie Mattel.
That's absolutely incredible. And how was supporting those such big names and such big topical names right now?
It's insane. Their audiences are young, like terrifyingly young.
Okay.
Like some of the shows will be like 14 or 16 plus.
Oh gosh.
So you get like young baby queers coming along with their parents. And so it's astounding and amazing. And actually, you know, you're aware coming on as like a quote unquote straight comedian in comparison to like the array of drag queens that are also maybe performing on the night, or if it's just they've come to see a queen and then you are the one support act.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like you're their first intro to comedy, to stand up.
Yeah.
So it sort of feels a bit of a responsibility, and that's kind of nice. It's nice to sort of be like, look, it can be for us, like it can be kind of queer but still really fun. Yeah. I don't know. I'm mincing my words.
Do you have to tone it down at all for a younger audience?
Nah.
just give them everything.
Just acknowledge. Just turn to a parent and be like, you're fine with this. Okay.
you're on board with this now. Well, speaking of drag, we have an amazing drag queen who is going to be joining us on the phone shortly, and that is Emily Meow, who is actually a female drag queen, who are a rare breed. So I'm really excited to talk to her about her work. And yeah, have a little good old conversation about drag. But before that, let's have a little bit of Dirty, Christina Aguilera.
Ah, dirty. Nasty. Yeah. Too dirty to clean my act up. Yeah. If you ain't dirty, you ain't here to party. Ladies, move. Gentlemen, move. Somebody ring the alarm. A fire on the roof. Ring the alarm. And I'm throwing elbows. Ring the alarm. And I'm throwing elbows. Yeah. Ring the alarm. And I'm throwing elbows. Ring the alarm. And I'm throwing elbows.
Who ready to party out there?
I'm throwing elbows. Ring the alarm. And I'm throwing elbows. Ring the alarm. And I'm throwing elbows.
Some room coming through, paid my dues, in the mood. Me and my girls gonna shake the room. She just gonna show your head. Let's get dirty, that's my jam. I need that to get me off, sweating till my clothes come off. It's so close, the speakers are pumping. I'm still jumping, six in the morning. Table dancing, glasses for pressure. No questions.
the show. Take a little something on the floor. I need that get me off. Sweating till my clothes come off. Let's get open cause a cold show. Still going 8 in the morning. Let's not stop and we will give it up. We're hot rocking. Everyone's talking. Giving just what you love to the maximum. Uh-oh, here we go. Here we go. What to do when the music starts to drop? That's when we take it to the parking lot. And I bet you somebody's gonna call the cops. Uh-oh, here we go. Here we go.
A jam like a summer show. I keep my car looking like a crash dummy drove. My gear look like the bank got my money froze. But their presidents I pant like Putty Roll. That's the one that excites your divas. After media shine, I'm shining with both of the sleeves up. Yo, Christina, better hop in here. My block live and in color like Rodman hair. The club is packed, the bar is filled. I'm waiting for sisters to act like Lauryn Hill. Frankly, it's a rap, no bargain deals. I drive a four-wheel wide with foreign wheels. Throwing up, baby, it's Brick City. You heard it. That. We blessed and hung low like Bernie Mac. Dogs, let them out. Women, let them in. It's like I'm ODB. Then what y'all think then?
We are now joined on the phones by the lovely Emily Meow. How are you doing, Emily?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Really good, thank you. It's great to have you on the show. I'm joined here in the studio with the lovely Joe Sutherland, who is an amazing comedian.
Hi, Emily.
Hiya.
And we really, really want to talk to you today about everything you're doing. So you are a female drag queen, and now I think you guys are quite a rare breed. It's not something you see that much. So I'm really interested to know a little bit more about that. So do you want to tell me about your experiences and how you kind of got into being a female drag queen?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it does seem like female drag queens are a rare breed, but there's a lot more of us than you think. The first person to throw a brick at the Stonewall riots was a trans femme drag queen.
Yes.
Called Marsha P. Johnson, and
she was a
femme queen. They're everywhere. I fell into it completely by accident. I was always interested in Japanese fashion.
Yeah.
And so I was always surrounded by women in lashes and wigs and eccentric looks. And then I got into Drag Race, and then I sort of started combining the two. And it wasn't until someone asked me if I was a drag queen that I was kind of like, actually, maybe I am. So it was I always say that if I was like a Venn diagram of like kawaii Japanese fashion and drag, I'd be like slap bang in the middle.
And is that because there's so many crossovers between the two? Like you were saying, like the big lashes and hair and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely from back how I used to dress to what I present as my drag now, there is definitely now a completely different transformation. Like, I never used to wear wigs. The lashes got bigger. The makeup got bigger. The outfits got bigger. It became more of like a character as such. So yeah, it definitely just, it just kept growing really.
And do you ever find, because I guess a lot of the time you're performing in kind of drag spaces and things like that, do you ever find that people, yeah, not that it should matter at all, but do you ever find that people kind of mistake you and think that you are a man kind of portraying yourself in drag?
Yeah, it happens all the time. It happens mostly on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Happens on Instagram. Yeah, I did that. We've got that. There's that new question feature, and someone sent me a question on Instagram, being like, "It's crazy. I thought you were a drag queen, but now I think you're a girl. I don't know what you are." And I replied, and I was just like, "I'm both. You can be both."
Yeah. I can see why people get confused, but I think it's amazing what you're doing. And I've only heard of a couple of other female drag queens, but I think it's amazing that women are getting involved as well, because you know, like, drag really is for everyone. I'm really interested to know what your thoughts are on, I'm not going to name any individuals, but there have been a lot of conversations around whether females belong in the drag space and whether trans women belong in the drag space. I just want to put it out there that I absolutely think that anyone should, you know, be able to be part of the drag world, and I think you're doing an amazing thing. But yes. I want to know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, well, drag is an art form that completely transcends gender. It dismantles what we all think as what we've been all believed to be gender norms. Like, it completely dismantles that completely. So for drag to just be cis males portraying cis females, that's just not what drag is anymore. That might have been what drag was a long time ago, but it certainly isn't anymore. And therefore, to like exclude trans women and trans people and non-binary people and women from the scene, it's completely illogical when you really look at the black and white facts. But I do think, especially with women, it does link to a lot of misogyny within the queer community. Yeah. There's also, I come under a lot of fire being a queer female in queer space. Female women are often, you know, judged for being there when, you know, queer space is for everyone. It's inclusive, and that's how it should be anyway. So I think it does, there's many overlapping layers of why some people do have a huge problem with women in drag. But when you like really get down to the nitty gritty, we're all there. It's gender performance, and who says that only cis men can perform gender?
And how do you feel about certain kind of, which could arguably be derogatory terms, kind of used in the drag community, like terms like fishy for, you know, a male person presenting in drag who looks really feminine, and you know, obviously that has derogatory roots. How do you feel? Because you're in the drag space. How do you feel about things like that?
Yeah. So I the term fishy, I completely understand why it's come under fire. I think language evolved rapidly, and we're in an age where language is like evolving so much faster than it ever has been, which I think is amazing. And the fact that we can all question it in a safe space, the term fishy, yeah, I do think it's outdated.
Yeah.
I think it's used in the past, you know, I don't think people who said it before were doing it to be, you know, advertently misogynistic, but I do think that it is good that people have brought up the connotations of, you know, what it can mean.
Yeah.
So I do think that it's good that that term is becoming outdated. I recently, actually last week, I was on tour with Shangela, who has a song called Uptown Fish.
Yes.
And she did like a little speech beforehand about, she sort of changed the meaning of the term fish, and about how she was saying it made her feel empowered, and it made her feel like I think her terminology was like aerial on a rock, like jumping out of an iconic scene. And so I do like that she had that precursor to changing the term, which I think was, you know, it was nice that it was being acknowledged. So I think if everyone could acknowledge the fact that, yeah, it's probably outdated, it is quite, you know, it's quite nice to see that support in that way.
I really like that. So, you know, although the term may have kind of derogatory roots, that it's changed and it's evolved into something else, so it doesn't necessarily have to be offensive anymore. I really like that.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I think there's, like, it's always been like it's, I was kids, you know, stuff we used to say as kids, you now look back and you think, why did I ever say that? But I think that's the power of language, really, and that's the fact that we can evolve through that and self-reflect and be like, actually, no, we shouldn't really use that term. I think that's positive.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. I think it's fine to just ditch them sometimes as well. You don't necessarily need to like recontextualize. You can just be like, you know what? That's bad now. Yeah. We know that. We've grown. Moving on. Like,
I think there's a lot of, I'm so big on reclaiming terms. Like, even when like queer used to be an insult, and there's loads of other terminology that it has been reclaimed by the people who need to reclaim it, and I think that's very important. Terms can only be reclaimed by the people who can reclaim them.
Yes.
But yeah, I think you're right. There are certain words that just need to die, really.
Absolutely agree with that. How do you feel about male-to-male or female-to-male drag? Because I went to a drag show recently, and it was the first time, and I was actually quite surprised to see that for the first time, seeing a male person get on stage and do drag, where they were kind of being like hyper masculine and they were kind of like dressed a little bit like Meatloaf and like going, you know, overboard on the masculinity. It's something I hadn't seen before. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think, my close friend, and he's part of my drag family, Alfie Ordinary, is a cis male whose drag character is also male, Alfie yeah. Ordinary. He's a male who does male drag, but he has a twist on it, and it's very effeminate male drag, which I love. He says that he's like the son of a drag queen and a clown, and I really like that. You know, that's another form of drag that's just completely playing with gender. I think what I do specifically is day to day, I look nothing like my drag persona as such. I play on heightened femininity.
Yeah.
So I think any sort of any, you know, playing with gender, dismantling gender, commenting on gender through, you know, this expression that is drag, I do think it's really, really interesting. Yeah, I think playing with the gender roles that you were, you know, that were forced upon you, I think is really powerful.
Yeah, I completely agree. And at the end of the day, that's what drag's all about. And I think it's a wonderful and beautiful, beautiful thing. Tell us a little bit about you're involved with Eat, Sleep, Drag, Repeat, which I've heard a lot of people talking about, but I don't know a great deal about it.
A long time ago, I was invited to review an Eat, Sleep, Drag, Repeat show because Alfie, who I just mentioned, was the host. And I write for a drag website called work.com, and they were like, we'd love for you to come review the show. So I came, I loved it, and then the founder, Mike Pony, suggested that I stage manage their next show, and I was like, oh, I'd love to do that. I did it, and then we just got on really well, and then I kept stage managing, and then I started DJing at the shows, and now I'm like I'm production assistant with Mike. And what we do is we bring RuPaul's Drag Race Queens to the UK. We also work a lot with UK-based queens or other queens in Europe. We're really, really big on our guest artists. We started in Bristol, but now we go to all over the UK with our drag shows, which normally consist of our host Alfie, our headliner, and guest artists. That's from, you know, every realm.
That's amazing, and I believe I don't know if it's the tagline or just something you try to promote, but I've got here that you are proud to promote drag which doesn't discriminate, and I like that because I feel like sometimes when it comes to drag, it can be very much to do with like RuPaul's Drag Race, for instance, and that's the only drag people know, when there are so many different types of drag out there, and you know, local community queens and things like that are so important, and I feel like they need more exposure.
Completely. I mean, that's why we don't even like to say the word support act.
Yeah,
because we call them guest artists, because they are such a vital, incredible part of the show. I mean, Drag Race queens are only Drag Race queens because they were local girls, as they're called, before they were on Drag Race.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they're just as, you know, everything is got to be equal. And we want people who come to our shows, we want them to be in an inclusive space. We want it to be a safe space for everyone, just everyone who comes to our shows. We want them to come, feel comfortable, have a bit of escapism, you know, for a couple of hours and just leave feeling, you know, feeling like they had a good time and that they were in a space that they could feel completely welcome.
Well, that's really, really amazing, and it's really incredible work that you're doing. If people want to see you perform, Emily, or if people want to follow you on social media, where is best for them to catch you?
Yeah, so I'm Emily Meow on social media. Unfortunately, on Twitter and Instagram, both of the handles I wanted were taken away. Emily Meow it's so annoying. So Emily Meow with 4 W's on Instagram, and I'm Emily Meow with 3 W's on Twitter.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, it's so infuriating.
Those people who stole that from you, how dare they? How dare they?
I know. And the funny thing is, I think the girl who has the other handle on Twitter is a Drag Race fan.
No, really?
Yeah, I think it's just a total coincidence.
Oh, gutted for you. Funny. Well,
hello.
Well, it's been amazing to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on to talk to us.
Thank you.
I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Cupcake.
Oh, that's perfect.
I thought you might like that.
I love that.
Thanks so much, Emily. See you later.
Thank you. See you soon. Bye.
Judge one of the thugs, they gon' raise some thugs. Judge one of my trash, catch a heel up your ass. Don't judge a lesbian, cause she don't want you bad men. Judge one of the gays, they drag you from Z to A. And shout out to the bi's, you ain't gotta pick a side. And if you in a closet, shorty, you ain't gotta hide. Better make these bitches sick when they see you. And if a bitch won't beef, give a beef stew. Stripper right in front of me, I hope she wash her ass. She looking at my fine gays, but they don't wanna smash. Know they about to act a fool, time is fast, dude. Then the gays hop on stage, I gotta shake my ass too. Fuck out my way when you see me. I'm rolling with the LGBT. Fuck out my way when you see me. I'm rolling with the LGBT. I'm rolling with the LGBT. I'm rolling with the LGBT. Looking like we belong on TV. I'm rolling with the LGBT. Fashion wise, they don't play. When they step out, they gon' slay. I'm talking tight jeans, good hygiene. Motherfuckers stay fleet every day. Yeah. Fuck with them, you better run off. No skydive, it's gon' jump off. No pun intended, hoes offended. Cause they see we flyer than flight attendants. Do a hair flip, then I dip. In a strip club, throwing tips. If VIP, I'm about to buy more. Cause life too short like high scores. Tissue in my bra, bitch, gon' hit. Bad bitch, and I got long legs. Ass super plump, full of cornbread. I shut a bitch up like I phone dead. Fuck out my way when you see me. I'm rolling with the LGBT. Fuck out my way when you see me. I'm rolling with the LGBT. I'm rolling with the LGBT. I'm rolling with the LGBT. Looking like we belong on TV. I'm rolling with the LGBT. I'm rolling with the LGBT. I'm rolling with the LGBT.
Fubar Radio presents.
Hi, I am Brian Tyree Henry, and I play Alfred Paperboy Miles on the show Atlanta. I made it a point in my mind, like, as I was at Yale studying, you know, like, there weren't a lot of parts for us. You know, I was like, I would reserve myself to be like, I was like, if somebody approaches me and asks me to be a fucking slave, I swear to God, I will commit arson on every fucking thing they own. I don't care. I literally thought about being an arsonist. I was like, let somebody come to me with some shit like
yeah,
that. I don't
honestly.
Care.
Honestly.
You know what I mean? Like
every Wednesday from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
I've got a game for you, Joe.
Okay.
I think you're going to like this game.
Okay.
So this game is porn or not porn. And my lovely team have assembled 5 clips, some of which are from porn and some of which are not from porn.
Wait, so they're audio?
They're audio clips.
Okay. It's like you're just going to show me some clips on a screen and you have to. Why is this one naked?
Just audio clips, okay. Hence the radio element of this. And because you are such a big Britney fan and because you've named your show Toxic after the Britney song, we thought this week's theme would be the lovely Britney Spears herself. So. They're either porn or Britney Spears.
Okay.
And you have to try and figure out which is which. I'm actually going to help you because I don't know the answers either. The lovely producers are going to tell us the answer if we're right or wrong. So we're going to work as a team to try and figure this out. I also haven't heard these yet. So okay. Who fucking knows what's coming?
Great.
So, okay. Our first porn or not porn is...
I love kids.
Oh! That's definitely a Britney voice, right? And I really, if this is porn, I really hope... No. Jesus Christ. We went in dark. Right, okay. But I feel like this has to be Britney.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, you know, Q cute nanny in porn, like, oh, I love kids, I love, like dad fucks the nanny. You know, that's the kind of thing that they have on porn. So she's like, oh, I love kids. Like, I love taking care of kids. That's not the sexual part. That's just setting up her identity as a nanny.
Yeah, it's still planting the imagery of some kids
in
your head.
I know, it's so weird. And I really hope that this is Britney Spears.
Okay, let's say not. Let's say not porn.
I think we have to say not porn. We're saying not porn. Please, please let it be not porn. Porn, right. Oh, God. Super hottie fucking and sucking behind boyfriend's back. She was explaining that her day job was being a nanny.
Okay, well done.
Nailed it. Oh, knocked it out of the park.
God, I despair.
That was dark as fuck, and I really, really hope the rest of these aren't as as dark as that. Yeah, we got it. We did get it wrong. That's true. All right, our next one. I'm afraid to push this button, honestly.
I don't know. I don't pay my cell phone bill.
That's a classic. That's a Britney.
Is that Britney?
Yeah.
What do you know the context of this?
Just, you know, it's a golden interview where she had, you know, great quotes such as,
everybody's doing emails now. So this is definitely Britney. You know,
think,
this for a fact.
Yeah, come on.
All right, let's hear it again.
I don't know. I don't pay my cell phone bill.
And you know what? That's actually from a pop world, the big ones with Simon Amstel.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I have an encyclopedic
knowledge of popular culture from 1995 to 2004.
And that's it. That's the cutoff.
I know nothing else.
So I think we have the right answer. We are saying not porn. We are saying this is Britney Spears in an interview with Simon Amstel. And yes.
Yeah, you got it right.
Completely right.
Got it right.
I feel like you're going to be good at this. I feel like if you don't know that it's Britney, then it probably isn't Britney.
Yeah, if there's any room for doubt, then it's porn.
Though I am kind of like, I'm impressed by like the voices. Like, listen to the first one again.
I love kids. I don't know. I don't pay my cell phone bill.
Like,
I,
they're first very one, similar. She's
no,
a bit dark.
First one, yeah, first one was a little more deep. Guttural.
Gutter, good, beautiful choice of words.
Sorry,
there.
Dad.
All right, okay. Third one. Here we go. Oh.
Just do that again.
Right, now that could be two things happening there. You know, they're having fun and somebody's like clapping their hands. I'm having a great time. Or she's giggling while being pounded from behind. It's one of the two.
Oh, God.
Would you like it again, Joe? Are you glad you're here?
Yeah.
Are you glad this is how you're spending your Wednesday evening?
I am going to have to hear it. I don't want to, but I'm going to have to.
Okay, here we go. She's having a great time either way. Britney Spears or the porn actress are having a great time. What are we saying? I think not porn.
Show your workings out.
It sounds like there's a lot of people there, and I know you can have a lot of people in porn, but I'm just seeing lots of people sat around. Britney's having a laugh. Somebody's like having like one of those really hearty laughs where you just have to bang your hands
but
together.
But that's a real snorter, and I think if there'd been like a clip of her doing a very embarrassing snorty laugh, that would have been sent to me.
It's sent to you directly.
I'm the sort of person that people see a clip of a megastar being like,
and
they're
it
like,
to you.
Joe needs this.
I feel like Britney's PR would have just get that over to Joe straight away. Yeah. We need this. So.
And because I don't recognise it.
So you're saying porn?
I'm saying porn.
I'm gonna follow in your lead. I'm going to trust you on this. We are saying porn. Not porn!
Oh, no!
Your Britney encyclopedic knowledge has let us down.
Then it must have been after 2004.
This is Britney in the back of a cab, really excited, bouncing up and clapping.
I haven't seen it!
You seem really distressed.
I really am! What's the point of the internet if you've missed something as important as this?
He's Googling it right now. Do we have a date on this? Was this post-2004? Do we know if this was post-2004? Because, no, early days.
Shit.
Joe, your reputation is in tatters.
Okay, can I hand in my card?
Yeah, hand it over. All right, well, we've got two more, so you can redeem yourself. You can redeem yourself.
Okay.
All right, okay, here we go. Next one.
No, I've never kissed a woman before.
That is not Britney Spears. She would not moan. Never kissed a woman.
I mean, it could be sort of, you know, there was the Paris Hilton days where words were very slurred in 2005.
Should we hear her again? Really think, Britney.
Okay.
No, I've never kissed a woman before.
I've never kissed a woman before. It can't be Britney, can it?
It's because it's said with a smile, and I just think, like, Britney obviously did the Madonna kiss.
Yeah.
When, 2003?
2004. Yeah, I was like 14, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Well, it's only...
Fact check.
It's at my cutoff point. And I just think she would have still, in an interview, she would have still been doing, like, Southern Belle, like, oh, I don't know, it just, you know, she would have sort of been a bit pious.
Sure.
Whereas this seems like it's said with a really naughty smile in the corner of her mouth, you know?
The way she says woman, she proper moans there. 2003, I was wrong. I don't know why I even dared challenge you on your Britney knowledge. I don't know who I think I am. So we're saying this is porn, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's one or the other. Come on. Yeah, let's say it's porn.
Yeah, we're saying it is porn. Not porn.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Britney being interviewed about kissing Madonna at the Music Awards. Okay.
Like, God, I had such high hopes for that girl.
Right, let's hear that again.
No, I've never kissed a woman before.
Why is she moaning?
I mean...
Britney.
I get that is technically the brand, is like pretending to be a Southern Belle virgin, whereas actually, you know, being one for the dads.
I'm being told that apparently she's all like shy and looking down while she's being asked about. I feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I do.
I'm just so glad to see her doing really well now. You know, I mean, like, she's really in good health.
She's doing her thing. Are you going to see her at Brighton Pride?
No, it's in August. I'll be in Edinburgh.
Oh, of course you will. Yeah. Oh, then that means I'm not going to come see a show because I'm seeing Britney.
I'm not just doing it for one day. I'm in Edinburgh for a whole month.
Oh, okay.
And
that is a while.
I didn't want to fly down because of climate change.
Sure. All right. Well, your reputation is in the gutter. So we've got one more.
Oh, I'm so ashamed.
One more. Please redeem yourself.
Okay.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Excited.
That's porn.
No question. That is absolutely porn.
Unless, but can we hear the voice at the end again?
Okay.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Excited.
Oh. Oh. There's a little glimmer that's...
Only because I wondered, because the voice had like a nasal tone. I thought it could be Simon. Oh, there I go. First name terms, clang. The aforementioned Simon. No, I think it's porn.
I think we're both saying that it is porn. I really hope we're right.
Jesus
wrong.
Christ.
Porn. Porn!
Hooray for porn!
So this is a horny girl wanting to star in her first porno, and she's very nervous
and
about it.
She's nervous for her first... Well, I mean, I wonder how many times she's shot her first... anyway. Oh, yeah, it's an exploitative industry which can be done very well, but on the whole, it's, you know, you just got to look out for the performers. Think of the performers.
There are some decent directors, producers out there doing good stuff, but I know what you mean.
Okay, tell me during the next song.
Okay, I will. We're actually gonna... I was at Lovebox and at Citadel at the weekend, and I also got to interview the lovely Isaac Gracie. So we're gonna go to that interview now, and then we're gonna play some sex confessions. So if you haven't sent in your sex confessions yet, you can do that anonymously by emailing callum@fubarradio.com, and we'll be reacting to those in just a little bit.
I'm here at Citadel with the amazing Isaac Gracie. How are you doing?
Hello.
You're performing later, that's right.
5:30.
And are you excited? How are you feeling?
I'm really excited.
Yeah? A little birdie told me that you don't like Sundays. Is that true?
I don't like Sundays. No, they're actually, yeah, by far my least favourite day.
So how do you feel having to work on a Sunday?
I actually, I really like it, because otherwise I'd probably be quite bored and depressed.
Fair.
You know, so this gives me an excuse to enjoy the sun,
mm-hmm.
play some music, and drink copious amounts of alcohol. So who can complain?
Beautiful.
Really.
Nobody can complain with that. And you were playing the Montreux Jazz Festival. That's
Montreux
why you're
Jazz. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was playing that on Tuesday. I was doing Girton Festival yesterday. Yeah.
Okay. Would you ever kind of? Because I feel like your sound has a very unique vibe, and you definitely have your genre. Would you consider branching out into other things like jazz, for instance?
Like jazz. Wow. I can't play jazz.
Yeah, I know.
So that would be
there.
The main thing between me and ever doing like a jazz record. I would love to sing some jazz standards, but I think, you know, at the point in my career that I'm at, I have a lot of songs, I guess, to get off my chest, mm-hmm. Which is nice to have that. And then I think one of the beauties of creativity and music and all other kind of art forms or whatever is the freedom to explore different realms of inspiration and stuff. So mm-hmm. who can say, maybe like in 10 years time, if you know, I run out of ideas, maybe, but who knows.
And speaking of kind of like the freedom to explore, is there any kind of, what would be the dream for you?
Well, in exploration,
yeah,
honestly, I don't know, doing something I'm proud of is the main thing. I think in this day and age it's really difficult to not be drowned creatively by the wealth of things we're seeing all the time, mm-hmm. like social media and stuff. It becomes like this overwhelming view into the abyss, and I think if I could just kind of maintain my own voice no matter what it is that I'm doing that really inspires me and keeps me interested, mm-hmm. then that's all I care about.
Do you think you can kind of get lost in the world of social media sometimes? You know, there's a lot of people talking, there's a lot of voices, it can be overwhelming.
No, I think it's only overwhelming. I don't really think that there's any other way that it can be, because you can't, it's very difficult to have a one foot in, one foot out relation mm-hmm. to it. You kind of have to really be consumed by it, and not so much in a way that it really matters to you. I wouldn't say that social media matters to me at all.
Okay.
As a human being, but it has to matter insofar as you know, how the world works.
I can't
avoid seeing the world through it, you know, and I can't pretend that I don't see what I see. So, and I think that's how, you know, most people see it, experience it. You know, it's impossible to not see it as a reflection upon yourself, no matter how well you know yourself or how confident you are in what you're doing. You'll always have this kind of, be aware of this big scary world outside mm-hmm. of you, and that's not very comfortable, I don't think. But
yeah, absolutely. Well, since we are here at Citadel, I thought I'd ask you a few questions about festivals.
Yeah.
So if you were going to a festival and you had the choice between seeing the headline act or a secret set, you don't know who it is, which would you choose?
Secret set all day. Secret set. Yeah,
I like
well,
that.
Well, I saw King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard at Glastonbury last year, playing in the Raven's Nest, and that was probably the best gig I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And had the best vibe, you know, hands down. So obviously if it's Radiohead, you know, or Tame Impala, to be fair, you know,
it's hard to
pass that up, but secret set is usually the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned earlier on in the interview that you like to have a few drinks at a festival. Mm-hmm. What is your recovery method?
Oh, I'm good with recovery.
Yeah?
I live in perpetual recovery, yeah. I have learned recovery very well. You begin the recovery while you're still in the mode of drinking, I find. So you just have to get the water in, you know, try and sleep, obviously, as much as you can, and then the next morning, water, Barocca, carrots and cucumber.
Carrots and cucumber. That's the first time I've heard that. Carrots. Usually I hear Big Mac.
No, carrots and cucumber, man. Just go all health, all the way. Lemon and ginger tea for me, that's a win. And if you can really face it, just go for a run.
Good answer. Well, it's been amazing talking to you. Thank you so much for coming, and can't wait to see your set later today.
Cheers, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Sleep all day and drink all night. Just give me one good reason, I'll turn out my light. Now I'm terrified,
now I'm terrified, and I've heard all the people calling my name, but they'll never see just how I've changed. Now I'm terrified, now I'm terrified.
Isaac Gracie there. If you want to catch that full interview, it is now available on YouTube as well. You have been sending in your sex confessions. Loads of you also sent your sex confessions over through Instagram as well. So thank you so much for sending those through. Now we're going to react to a few of these. So I'm going to throw you in at the deep end. Would you like to read the top one for me?
So sex confession number one, it's a plea for advice really, is I always wondered if it was okay to jack off a couple of times a day. Can't help.
I feel like this is one of those questions that people ask all the time. Like, I feel like when we're growing up, we're told, oh, if you masturbate too much, you'll go blind.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with masturbating a couple of times a day. There is nothing wrong. Masturbate all you want. Like, I feel like if you're going at it a lot, especially if you're not using lube, you might get like friction burns and things. But other than that, there's no medical risk when it comes to masturbation.
I know. And mate, if you still can do it a couple of times a day, get in there. Your days are numbered. It's not going to last long. You'll be spitting dust by your second chance by the time you're 30.
I'm heading for 30, and I feel like most days I still manage to pop a few out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm a very sexually charged person.
And you're not very busy.
I've just not got a lot on. Well, honestly, like I've recently gone, like, taken the plunge into self-employment full time, and I find it, you know, sometimes quite difficult to, you know, to not just stop my working day and just, oh, I'm on porn again.
That's how you know you're stressed. I think that's how you know there's a deadline coming, is when you've had like an 11:30 a.m. little break.
Yeah, and those breaks are coming quite frequently at the moment, so I'm having a good time. That's all I'm going to say. All right, the next one. I hate how much I love sucking off massive cocks. Just want to keep finding even bigger ones. Why do you hate it? I mean, you love it.
Ache? Maybe they just need a good facial masseuse.
Yeah, I feel like that could take its toll on your jaw if you know, constantly. Because you kind of have to, I feel like with blowjobs, there's a very certain kind of mouth position you have to kind of keep going. And that can quite get quite, because you've got to keep the teeth out of the way while you've got to keep that suction tight. And, you know, it's a lot on the jaw.
It's a stress. Good for a muscular face. Do people like that?
Yeah, maybe it's like a workout. I don't know. Like, oh yeah, you've got like good jaw going on. Mm. Is that a thing? I don't know if that's a thing. I think all power to you. You keep, if you like sucking off a massive dick and you want to go and find bigger ones.
Maybe think of it, if it's causing too much strain, maybe think of it as like a 5-2 diet. And just have a couple of days of, you know, sacrifice.
Sure.
Where you're very saintly, and then 5 days, gobble as much as you want.
So it's 5 days on the massive cock, and then 2 days
on,
off.
2 days off.
It sounds great to me. Sounds like killer week. I'm down for that. Would you like to read the next one?
Oh, well, on theme, I have braces, and my boyfriend's foreskin got stuck in a brace when I sucked him off.
Okay. I have a story about this.
Oh,
yeah, I do. This didn't happen to me. So I was dating this guy, and he had braces. And then a friend told me that he had dated somebody before me, and while he'd been sucking him off, the foreskin had got stuck in the braces, and it had like ripped the foreskin. And that meant, so that when he went down on me for the first time, I felt like I was putting my dick in a blender. Like, I was terrified, which meant I went soft, and then he was like, what's the problem? Is it me? Like,
well, you've
like,
just told me a horror story before bed.
So, yeah, it was really not a fun time. So, imagine like either partner, like having the braces and getting the foreskin stuck, or having your foreskin stuck. I'm very much against circumcising babies, but this is an argument for it. Don't circumcise babies, please don't do it. I think it's bad. But, you know, if you're going to have an argument for it, I think this is the one.
It's an interesting religion you have there. I think, well, maybe if you're worried about getting back into it, is there something you could practice with?
Yeah.
Aldi now do these, not to cast shade upon your boyfriend, but just thinking back to the jaw slack situation, Aldi now do little boxes of like small salad cucumbers, so you don't need to be wrapping around like a full-sized, you know, like workaday cucumber. You can just have a practice on a little one, and that can help you maybe work out your teeth and
situation
lip positioning.
I think that's brilliant advice. I think go with that. I can't fault that. Okay, the next one. While I was out cruising, I met a guy. We were in the toilets in a local shopping center. We were in the disabled cubicle. After we had finished the deed, there was a loud knock on the cubicle door. The security guy radioed for backup, as there was two males in a cubicle. So I told the guy to hold my arm as we left the cubicle. We walked out like I was disabled. Oh no. He radioed again saying, it's fine, just a guy and his carer. I don't know how I got away with this. Oh my God, you're going straight to hell. Straight to the deepest, darkest, hottest part of hell. I can't believe that you pretended to be disabled to get away with that. But at the same time, I mean, thinking quick on your feet.
True. Firstly, thank you for not describing how you pretended to be disabled.
Yes, thank you for that.
That would have made us hate you more. I think next time, just run.
Yeah, yeah.
Just push back, you know, have like a fun, flirty, like, hey, it's a teen movie, I'm running through the mall.
I think that's the way as well. Like, it's you know, it was just security. All they were going to do is throw you out. I don't feel like
Sometimes there's like that little prison in Westfield, I've heard, but they can't legally touch you. Here is my tip for cruisers, one and all, is that privately employed security guards of shopping centres, I'm led to believe, can't legally touch you, or at least they definitely can't in Sainsbury's. I know there's
so
if they do, you need to make sure that you are in the vicinity of a security camera, because you can bring that up in your court case.
That is stellar information there. I don't know how you've got
someone's going to tweet and be like, I'm a lawyer, and
that is not
100% incorrect.
Brilliant advice there. I mean, I absolutely, you're a genius. I'm glad we have you here. I'm thrilled to be in your company, is what I'm saying. Good for you, bathroom sex. Also, like, I don't know the legalities around bathroom sex. Like, is it actually, is it a crime to have sex in a public bathroom if you're behind a locked door? Like, is it public indecency? Can I have a wank? Like, what if I feel like masturbation is a healthy part of natural life. And if I'm out and about and busy and I need to pop one out, surely I'm allowed to do that. So am I allowed to have sex?
I think you certainly wouldn't be allowed at the urinal. I think they're all just going to be illegal. I think they're going to be illegal.
I'm being told, no, this is all public indecency. Well, I don't...
That's what makes it fun.
The law and morality are not the same. Just take care of yourselves. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to get myself in trouble if I carry on talking. Next one. Would you like to read this one for me?
This one says... Why have you deleted it?
Give that back to us immediately. There we go. Okay.
This one says, I've tried to bottom, but both times he couldn't get his emoji. I'll let you fill in that one. In my emoji. What should I do?
I think this is a really good question, actually. I think having anal sex for the first time, presumably it's this, yeah, I think it's this person's first time, I think it can be quite difficult. And I think number one is use lots of lubricant. Number two is don't just try and put the penis in straight away, especially if it's your first time. I think a little bit of light fingering and things like that can definitely help open you up and get you ready for the main event. So it's all about preparation and practice. And there's also, you know, you can practice by yourself, you can finger yourself, you can get very small sex toys. So there are like butt plug training kits where some of the butt plugs are literally like smaller than my little finger, and then they grow in size. And just doing things like that, it's all about preparation and getting yourself ready for anal sex.
Wait, the plug itself grows?
No, like so like you can get like a kit.
Okay.
And it has lots of different sizes.
It has multiple
sizes.
Ones. I was imagining, you know, them key rings that you like chuck in the bath and it turns into a towel. I was like, just stick one of them inside you and
it'll just grow. Yeah,
you'll be vast in no time.
I think that would be a brilliant invention. Like, you put in a little butt plug and then, I don't know, like you fill it gradually with air. So it like...
Yeah, but
slowly.
How do you tell it to stop? Like, does it have a safe word?
Safe words are important. Mine is pumpernickel.
That's a lot of syllables.
Yeah, but that's true. A safe word should be something that you can just...
Mine's get off!
Get out of here! Yeah, but I just feel like, you know, nobody can get sexual if they hear the word pumpernickel. It's an instant boner killer, you know?
Wise. Okay.
That's what you want from a safe word. Okay, next one is... I want my first time to be with a boyfriend, but I feel like it's keeping me from hooking up. Okay, well, I feel like it's absolutely fine to set your own boundaries, and if you want to lose your virginity with someone you love for it to be a boyfriend, then that's absolutely fine. That's absolutely allowed. But to play devil's advocate, I also think that virginity is like this massive... virginity is not a thing. Like, it's this weird construct that we've all created, and I think a lot of people sometimes put a lot of emphasis on virginity that's not always needed. Like, having sex for the first time is just the first time you have sex. It doesn't need to be this big main event. You're looking at me like you completely disagree.
I was just gonna say, like, it's a graded experience. There are like 6 virginities, so
that's true.
I would say gift yourself some of those, maybe.
Yeah,
and then, you know, save a couple for the one.
Yeah, I feel like as gay men as well, we get a few more virginities than most people.
I don't know. I suppose, I mean, anyone can really do any of them if they try.
That's true. That is very, very true. yeah, and I don't know why I would, you know, because gay sex, anal sex, and they do not equate. You know, the straights can have anal fun too. But, you know, traditionally, the gays have a lot more anal. It's true. We do. We do. It's a thing.
If there's one thing my grandma Mary always said about the gays,
they do love a bit of anal. They do love a bit of anal. And this is coming from me. I don't even enjoy anal sex, so I don't know what I'm talking about. Do we have any advice for this person?
I would say, yeah, don't. I think feel well. Oh, it's a difficult one, really, because you don't want to, like, castigate them for making one decision either way or the other. But I would just say, yeah, there is certainly, if this is a male-male relationship you're looking for, then there's no harm in having a fumble with a few others,
yeah,
just to warm up. But you can save the big thing if you feel that's the...
I agree
the
with
experience
that.
You want.
That. Yeah, brilliant answer. I agree completely. Throwing myself behind that. All right, next one. Would you like to read this one for me?
I mean, this is just a brag. It says, I had a threesome recently. 2 hours later, someone gave me head.
Yeah, well, good for you. Like, that is just a brag.
Yeah, what name is the club?
yeah, it sounds like you're having a great time. Yeah, good for you. Bragging. Yeah, great. You're having fun. We support this. You're having a great time.
Or do people treat this like confession? Is this like at work? Or in the library.
I mean, it's quite possible that this person is, you know, this is a big deal for them. Maybe, you know, they could have been a virgin before this night.
It's a big deal.
And then threesome and then a blowjob. And it's like, fuck me.
You're at executive level now.
Yeah, stepping up in the world. next one is, the night I had my first kiss, I kissed 6 people in total and I don't remember anything.
Whoa, people are just having these whirlwind experiences. Sweet.
How is everyone just going from 0 to 50? Where are you going?
50? No, he only said 6.
I just... my first sexual experience was a threesome.
What?
Yeah. Oh
my God.
It wasn't like...
It wasn't a good one, obviously.
We weren't having anal, and it wasn't like... But it was just, you know, a bit of fumble, fumble, sucky, sucky, fun. But that was my first ever sexual experience, was with 2 guys.
Did you go to boarding school?
No. What?
Oh, that's just what I presume boarding school is. But that's just a nice thought I like to keep. I don't want anyone to ruin that for me.
I feel like I really want to go to boarding school if that...
No!
Not now! Jesus!
Backtrack!
No, not what I meant. God. You know what I meant. I feel like when I was a teenager... I would have liked to have gone to boarding school. Please don't edit this to make me sound like a monster. Please leave that caveat in there. I think that's very, very important. I'm going to read the next one. I am in a relationship with a 33-year-old and I'm 20. What are your thoughts on age gaps in relationships? I feel like that's a 13-year age gap. Isn't that like Tom Daly, Dustin Lance Black is like that kind of age gap?
Oh, is that about that gap? So long as you feel safe and confident, then yeah, there's no issue, because some people can be like 20 on the outside, but they're 60 in, you know, some people are born middle aged. And yeah, so I would just say, so long as you're happy and you feel like confident and secure, then that's no problem.
Yeah, and I completely agree as well. I think as long as everybody is of a consensual age, then why does it matter? You're 2 consenting adults, a 33-year-old and a 20-year-old are both adults doing their thing. So I think it's fine, and I don't think anyone should judge you for it. I think there are a lot of people out there who do, but I think that's wrong and I think that's bad. You live your best life, and if you're both happy, that's all that matters.
And take pictures, because you're only young once.
Yes, absolutely that. Well, Joe, that brings... We had some more sex confessions, which we will do on another show. But, Joe, that brings us to the end of the show. It's been a pleasure having you here. And so, obviously, you've got Toxic at the Edinburgh Fringe coming up in August, which is, I now understand, is a month long and
it's
not just a couple days.
It's a month-long festival.
So, if people want to get along, I guess they have to get up to Edinburgh Fringe and support you.
Get yourself to Edinburgh. Or if you're in York... I have a preview at the Great Yorkshire Fringe next Tuesday on the 24th. If you're in London, in fact, I actually have one tonight at 9:30 at the Albany.
Oh, you're in hopping Great Portland straight on Street. Over.
Yep, I don't imagine that'll be busy. And then I have one next week in just next to Shoreditch Park at the Rosemary Branch Theatre. It's one of my favourite venues. And it's nice and cheap. Tickets on the door. Ooh, do come along.
Amazing.
So it's Wednesday, 25th.
Maybe I'll pop. Oh no, I'm here doing radio. Otherwise, I would have popped along. Amazing. And if people want to follow you on social media, and I was reading your Twitter earlier today, and you are very funny.
Oh, thanks. I keep getting told that I'm not like active enough.
Well, I would like you to be a little bit more active. A few more tweets would be nice.
All
just
right.
A few more.
Okay, Mum. Got bills to pay.
So where can people find you on social media?
At @JoeSutherland_ on Twitter. It's the same as Emily. Like, someone had taken just plain Joe Sutherland.
Monsters.
They're just like some 14-year-old karate kid. So I daren't take it up with him in case he like chops me. And then Instagram is Jomodity. JOMIDITY. I mean, it's not a word, so that's why I don't know how to spell it. And then I live roughly in the N1 area. If you just see me around,
just say hey. Or if people can't spell those things that you just spelled out, they'll also be able to find you by going to the FUBAR Radio pages, and you'll all be tagged
Great. There.
So do go follow Joe everywhere. You've been an amazing guest. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
It's been so much fun.
It's been a blast. I'm going to play you out with a little bit of The Waitresses.
I know what boys like, I know what guys want. I know what boys like, I got what boys like. I know what boys like, I know what guys want. I see them looking, I make them want me. I like to tease them, they want to touch me. I never let them. I know what boys like, I know what guys want. I know what boys like, boys like, boys like me. But you're special, I might get you. You're so much different, I might get you. Would you like that? I might get you. And buttons, fun to frustrate them. They get so angry, like pouty children. Deny their candy, I laugh right at them. I know what boys like, I know what guys want. I know what boys like, boys like, boys like me.
Yeah.